Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. We're recording live at Oracle Open World in San Francisco, and I'm Allison Klein. Today, we are very happy to have Tim Shuttler on the program with us. Tim is a vice president at Oracle. And Tim, why don't you tell us what you manage at Oracle and where that fits into the story of Oracle Open World this week?
Thanks, Allison. Hi, everybody. I am a vice president in the product management organization within the database group at Oracle. And the database group has several subgroups. I'm in the one that happens to produce the Exadata database machine product, which gets a lot of focus at Open World. And also we do a number of other software products that are part of the database. But our Open World experience for the last 3 years since the Exadata product was debuted has been all about Exadata and engineered hardware and software systems. And we've announced several more already this week, and so the kind of the drumbeat for engineered systems continues to roll out. But Exadata was the first, and it's a wildly successful product, so I'm really happy to be associated with it.
So obviously, if we take a step back, everyone associates Oracle with mission-critical applications and running databases and business intelligence software for the largest businesses in the world. When you combine that type of software capability with proven hardware, what do you think you're delivering to customers that is unique with Exadata?
Well, there's a number of things in a special layer of software within Exadata that really distinguishes that as a platform for running the Oracle database. And we can get into those a little bit later. The general notion of an engineered system, however, is that the customers get the benefit of Oracle having done all the integration work that their IT department might otherwise have to do. When you compare the traditional way that complex enterprise systems have been built, it usually involves five or more vendor relationships. It involves your best architects in IT figuring out which components are balanced with which other components and then, you know, building this system from a bunch of boxes effectively, and then trying to do the tuning and the balancing. And usually that takes weeks, if not months, to get to the point where now you're ready to start loading data and running your applications. With Exadata and really all the engineered systems from Oracle, that work has been done in the lab. The system, when it shows up, is in fact a day or two away from being ready to load data and connect applications. And so although we're very, very proud of the performance and other characteristics that are unique to Exadata, when I talk to CIOs who have bought more than one Exadata system, the reason they did that is because of the ability to get it up and running and to know that it's 100% optimized for the task that it was built when it showed up. And so that's probably the real value of engineered systems. We're kind of finally breaking out of the 20 or 30 years of building computer systems by a collection of pieces and finally starting to think about it more holistically. And so that's kind of the ground that Exadata has broken and that Oracle is pursuing.
When you look at the types of customers that utilize your systems, can you give us a sense of, you know, for those who don't follow Oracle every day, you know, what types of customers are using these systems and how are they being used? And why is the reliability capabilities of the platform so important in this context?
Yeah, Oracle has about 300,000 customers of its database now. So you're hard-pressed to find any decent-sized company on the planet that doesn't have Oracle somewhere. Mm-hmm. So we like to think of all those folks as eventually good candidates for the Exadata database machine. When we look at the industries that have invested in Exadata, and we've now been shipping Exadata for about close to 3 years. We have over 1,000 systems that have shipped, and every industry that we track now is a customer of Exadata. Like most advanced products, the industries that have invested the earliest and the most are in financial services, mm-hmm. telecommunications, and retail. retail mostly because the initial capability that Exadata embraced was around data warehousing and analytics, and that's a very important thing for retail. But that's also why they have it in financial services and telecommunications for the most part. The second release of Exadata introduced Exadata for use in transactional applications and in database consolidation, data center consolidation. And that, in fact, since then has been the area that has just exploded around Exadata, is the ability to shrink the data center footprint, shrink the power consumption, shrink the cooling requirements, shrink the floor space, shrink the administrative load. Consolidation is really beneficial from a number of angles that really is playing into this latest recession where people are just trying to take a lot of the costs out of their computing, and Exadata is at the forefront of that.
So if you look at that, you know, you bring up an interesting concept, and we've talked about this on the show a lot in terms of consolidation. Are you achieving that through pure performance capability of the platform and just highly tuned and optimized performance, or is there something else at play here that's driving that energy efficiency and footprint savings?
Well, you definitely have to have a powerful platform to put a lot of stuff on it, so that's sort of the table stakes. What I tell folks is that if that was all we had, then we wouldn't really be positioning Exadata for consolidation, because consolidation invariably means you're going to put multiple workloads on the system, some of which will compete with each other. So, for example, we do have customers now that have put their enterprise data warehouse on Exadata, and then they've put one or more of their transactional databases on the same platform. And now when changes occur to the transactions, they will trickle feed, as we call it, those changes over into the data warehouse so they're available virtually immediately mm-hmm. to anybody running reports. Those two workloads, however, are going to be competing for resources on the platform. If somebody wants to get very fast response time on their CRM system, for example, and somebody else attached to the data warehouse wants to run some gigantic report job, it's very likely that one of those systems is going to lose. And so we have a variety of what we call workload management capabilities built into Exadata and to the Oracle database that give our customers the ability to make those trade-offs and, if you will, dial in really good performance during certain hours of the day for their CRM application and not give all the resources to the data warehouse until maybe toward the end of the day or overnight when you're doing batch jobs or reporting jobs. So it's this ability to manage the distribution of the CPU resources and the I/O resources across different workloads and different databases that really distinguishes Exadata for consolidation.
It sounds like it's architecture, software, management of workload processing, everything from top to bottom is looking at driving efficient delivery of performance.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I mean, one of the beauties of being able to engineer top and bottom, right, all the hardware, all the database software, all the other software that's running on the system is that if you define what you're doing against a discrete set of workloads like we have done with Exadata, then you know exactly what to measure and tune for, right? General purpose systems are very hard to do because you don't know at any given point in time, is somebody going to be running a database workload or email or some other workload? And so you just have this general purpose notion of what you're doing. Exadata is designed completely around the Oracle database. And so we only run Oracle database workloads, and we know exactly what we're going to see and how we have to tune the system for that. So it's very streamlined around the Oracle database.
You mentioned microprocessor performance, and the show is called Chip Chat, so I'd be remiss to not ask you, what is the work like with Intel in terms of optimizing performance for your Intel architecture Exadata solutions?
We have a large crew of Intel employees that work with us every day of the week. I see them every day at Oracle, in fact. And so sometimes I forget whether they're an Intel employee or an Oracle employee, and perhaps vice versa as well. So we have a great relationship, and you know, we think that having chosen the Intel processor for Exadata was obviously the best choice, and you know, we just love the Intel roadmap as sort of a if you will, a way to stay on the leading edge of the best technologies and the best processor performance possible. So that relationship's really important for us. And I think a week doesn't go by when I don't have a conversation with somebody from Intel relative to Exadata and how we can improve it.
When you look at the customer experience with the platform, what is it like in terms of testing environments to deployment environments with an Exadata platform? And can you describe that process a little bit and how you approach that?
Well, Exadata has a number of unique capabilities, and so we recommend to our customers that when they test their applications before putting them into production on Exadata, that they should test them on an Exadata system as well, particularly if they're going to do performance tuning. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, we have different sizes of Exadata. The database machine comes in what we call a quarter rack, half rack, and full rack size. So most customers will choose a quarter rack for their testing and development
Sure.
environment. When they go into production, then we recommend that they have two systems, one that's running their primary workload and another one that's available as a standby. And sometimes they can run both of them as the primary and then each of them as a standby of the other,
mm-hmm.
right? So, if money is no issue, then we recommend you have two the same size Exadata systems for your production environment and one for a test and dev environment. And keep them all at the same patch levels and manage them all in a complete environment. We call that our maximum availability architecture. And it's sort of a blueprint that we constantly test out on Exadata to make sure that it's right and we give people the best practices.
And from a standpoint of timing, what time frame does that test and development usually take within a customer site before they're ready for live deployments? Or does it vary based on the types of applications and usages that they're utilizing the platform for?
Yeah, definitely it'll vary based on how they're using it. If it's a data warehouse platform, then generally there's not a lot of work to be done testing applications out because you're running queries or report jobs. And oftentimes that's run from a tool, like a reporting tool. So they're really, once Exadata shows up and is ready to go in a couple of days, it's just a matter of loading up the data, and then people are starting to run queries against it. So that could be easily a matter of a couple of weeks. The quickest deployment to production that we've ever seen on Exadata has been about 10 days.
Oh, wow.
And this was actually for a country in Europe that was running their Ministry of National Education and serving up all the public school grades and report cards to the students and to their parents. So that was a very quick implementation. But the typical one might take about 2 months to 3 months,
mm-hmm.
and that's mostly just how long it takes for organizations to get comfortable and to run through all their user acceptance tests and get ready to go in live production.
So we're going to go to break in a few minutes, but I wanted to remind the audience that this is a live program and they can send questions in on our Blog Talk Radio feed or on Twitter at Intel Chip Chat. When we get back, I want to talk about cloud computing and where you're seeing enterprises respond to cloud in terms of different types of workloads. And do you think that the types of workloads that they're running on Exadata will ever be applicable to cloud computing architecture. But why don't I start with just one quick question before we go to break. The term big data has been bantered around quite a bit over the last 6 months to a year. What is Oracle's view of big data? You guys know data better than anyone. What is your view, and do you think this is something new or just an evolution of data growth within enterprise environments?
Well, it's interesting you ask that question because we just announced this morning a new engineered system called the Big Data Appliance. And so obviously we think it's an important thing for us to be involved in. A lot of people think that the question about big data is how big. We don't think that's really the most important question. We think the most important question is what kind of data? And so that's really what makes big data different, is that instead of the usual relational records that people are all comfortable with, Big data is all this stuff that's floating around in the internet, whether it's stuff that's coming from social media or weblogs or what have you, about which you don't know very much, and most of which is not very important data, but there's some portion of that big data that might be really, really important. It might be the sentiments of your customer base that are turning against you for whatever reason. Could be a variety of things. And the point about big data is you capture all the data you can that might have some usefulness to it, and then you go through a process of figuring out, is it useful and which parts of it are useful? And when you get down to that end, then you put it in the Oracle database. And so the big data appliance is that capture and reduce, iterate on this undifferentiated data part until you get to the point where you have now a pool of data that's important and you can keep it in the Oracle database.
Fantastic. I have more questions for you on that topic, but we're going to go to a break and we'll be back in a couple minutes.
We'll be right back with more of Allison's interview. Have a question? Visit us at twitter.com/IntelChipChat. We'll be answering questions live next.
And we're back at Chip Chat Live from live at Oracle World in San Francisco. We're looking out over the Moscone right now, and the streets are red and white with Oracle banners everywhere. You guys really know how to take over San Francisco, don't you?
We definitely do, and it's become our home now for many years, so I think it will forever be the place for the Oracle Open World Conference.
We were just talking about big data. You were describing Oracle's view of it. We did get a question from the audience about Hadoop. Obviously, Hadoop is a much bellied solution for big data processing. What are your plans in this space? Do you have any? Have you made a formal public direction for Hadoop?
Yeah, just this morning when we launched the big data appliance, we also mentioned that it would run a number of new software components as well. One of them we call the NoSQL database, which is really just a key value store used to collect big data from whatever sources. And we also have a distribution of Hadoop included. Hadoop is a MapReduce process where this big data comes in and you sort of connect a few components together with some common keys, and then you throw away stuff you don't want, and then you go through another mapping and you throw away stuff you want, and eventually you get down to a pool of data, as I said, that gets into the Oracle database. So we're distributing Hadoop with the appliance, as well as connectors, so we can connect from Hadoop into the Oracle database or connect from other sources into Hadoop. The Hadoop distributed file system, for example, is another common way to collect data at its source in a big data environment.
So when you look at big data as a trend, and obviously this has been getting a lot of discussion within the industry. We talked about it at the Intel Developer Forum a lot when we were live casting from that event. When you look at that and you look at unstructured data from the internet versus more traditional forms of data within a corporation, what would you say needs to be done in terms of the database and the underlying platform, given the fact that we are talking about Exadata, to accommodate for these large data sets? And is this something that the industry is well prepared for today?
Well, you know, the common thing that you hear a lot is that 80% of the data out there is unstructured and only 20% of it really has structure. And so people worry a lot about the unstructured growth. The truth is there's sort of three classes of data. There's the structured, the relational database. There's the semi-structured stuff, which sort of has some notion of a key or some indicator and some pattern that's repeatable. And that's probably the bulk of what we normally think of as unstructured. The truly unstructured stuff, you know, is satellite images and things like that really there's, you know, just completely random, right? But the Oracle database, and in fact most databases for quite some time right now, have attempted to deal with large objects, whether they're structured or unstructured or semi-structured, I don't care, but large objects stored into the database, because mm-hmm. Usually what happens is, let's say it's an image, right? So the image has other fields that are contained in a relational database that are the metadata for that image, right? And so it's sort of normal to have the image travel in the database and be connected and get backed up and restored at the same time as the metadata gets backed up and restored, et cetera. And so you really want to be able to store unstructured data into the database. What has been the difficult thing historically is that that kind of data performs better if it's not in a database. If it's in a file system, it's easier to grab the full file or put the file back. And so storing those things in the database has usually involved a performance penalty. The other thing, and probably the more daunting challenge, is people don't want to have to write SQL to get an image out of the database, right? They don't want to generally even know what SQL is if they're working with images. So those two things were kind of barriers historically. The last release of the Oracle database, which we call 11G Release 2, which came out a couple years ago, actually solved both of those problems. And the performance problem was solved with a new storage mechanism that we call Secure Files. And that's just a way to store the data within the database and get as good or better performance than if you were storing that in its own file system. And then the second thing is we added an interface on top of that. We call it DBFS, stands for Database File System, which gives you the same interface as if you were accessing through a file system. And so both of the typical barriers to storing images or unstructured data in the database are now removed. And in fact, on Exadata, that's a really important capability for us, because if you're using Exadata as your data warehouse platform, then you've got a whole bunch of data you're probably bringing over to store in the Oracle database from some other system that's in a file format, right? So what we have people do is just deposit that as part of the database, this file storage mechanism in the database, and then turn it into a data warehouse records after that directly from that source. And so that's become a really important sort of transition capability within Exadata for data warehousing.
When you look at big data, the folks that are talking about it usually are talking about it in terms of the large internet players and cloud providers. When you look at an enterprise, do you see the same type of opportunity in the near term with big data, where they're looking to exploit internet feeds for business insight, or is that a longer term play?
Well, like most of these things, these enterprises do discuss that. They have it in their plans somewhere in the future to mine these vast pools of data and somehow improve their business as a result. The reality is that's probably many years away and maybe never in the future of many of these businesses, right? It's just probably not important enough as an element of their strategy. So you're right, the people that influence all of us in technology around big data are the folks that you mentioned, right? That really can live and breathe the value of big data, map and reduce against some of these data sets. And so, you know, how soon this will take off versus how quickly it's taken off in the hype of it is a real good question that nobody really has a good answer to.
And finally, you know, I talked about the cloud before the break. You know, I don't think we can get away from any topic without talking about cloud right now. But you deal in a different environment than the typical the cloud applications that are being targeted for today in a lot of cases. When you talk to your large enterprise customers, how are they viewing cloud? Where do they see the opportunity, both from inside their organization and in service providers? And do you see a role for database and more mission-critical business analytics in a cloud model in the future?
Well, you know, we talk a lot about consolidation, and that really resonates with customers because they understand what that means and they can see the benefits. They don't talk cloud to us. I don't think I've ever had a customer come in and say, you know, we want to build a private cloud. I think that's probably still in the realm of the marketing terminology, and maybe it'll change over time. But they really think of it as consolidation of data center assets and, you know, squeezing the most value and performance. And, of course, what's really unique about the cloud is sort of this elastic notion that, you know, applications can come and go and resources can be spread around to different consumers, et cetera, and you don't have these idle, wasted resources sitting around like we've had in the past, right? And so that's kind of what resonates with them. I would say that perhaps the majority of our big enterprise customers are either starting to deploy cloud-like infrastructures or certainly looking at it as part of their future, outsourcing a lot of their data center assets to data center providers or to Oracle's on-demand service is something that's growing in leaps and bounds. The whole software as a service domain is, I think, an area that, you know, is exemplified by Salesforce.com, and there are a number of other small companies. But, you know, I think that a lot of people believe that in the long future, that many, if not most, of the applications that an enterprise uses will come from that model. And so we see people asking us about our plans in that direction. We see a lot of Exadata database machines being deployed in those kind of models. And sort of the Exalogic Elastic Cloud is a middleware system that is sort of the companion to Exadata, and it's certainly being used in that model. So it's certainly in the future, and Oracle has gone from not talking a lot about the cloud a couple years ago to talking a lot about the cloud now and deploying a lot in those models. And you'll see some more stuff this week at OpenWorld, announcements around the cloud from us.
Fantastic. I've got another question for you. Let me just read it really quickly. Could the big data appliance that you talk about ever be used as a software as a service platform within the cloud, is the question? Is there a connection between deploying a big data appliance and being able to deliver that to as a service?
I don't think so. I think certainly the Exalogic platform would be what I would think of as as a deployment platform for software as a service. You know, coupled with Exadata, if there's a lot of data intensity around it. The big data appliance, like most of our appliances, are sort of built around a dedicated purpose. And so the big data appliance really is about low cost, consuming a lot of data, munging through it with Hadoop, and then, you know, sending it somewhere else. So it's kind of this connector tissue, if you will, between this raw data world out there and the more disciplined IT world.
So I know it's probably unfair, but my final question is, because you made so many announcements today, what is coming next for Exadata, and what can we expect as we look forward to 2012?
You know, Exadata is following the classic technology adopter pattern. It's been out for about 3 years, and you know, people who are fans of folks like Jeffrey Moore's books and stuff think of this as sort of a normal curve where, you know, the early adopters were Exadata Generation 1. And then, you know, we crossed the chasm very quickly when we introduced our second generation and added flash technology and enlarged the scope to cover consolidation, which was all the rage at the time and still is. And then now we're sort of in the early majority pattern right now. And that's all about maturity of the platform. It's about the ecosystem getting bigger. So we've got a lot of systems integrators now that have become Exadata experts and are offering data centers for hosting of Exadata platforms, for example. The whole database community now has embraced Exadata, and everybody's trying to kind of make their living feeding off of the success of Exadata. And so what I tell folks is right now it's not a time for us to be introducing a lot of fancy new technologies around Exadata. There's more technology than people can consume today. It's about stabilization, hardening, building out the partner network, and making sure that this is a rock-solid platform going forward. And, of course, we're always taking on new technologies, whether it be Intel processors or new disks or firmware or new flash or what have you, with every time we do a new release of Exadata, because we want to stay on pretty much that leading edge of the technology curve. So there are no big announcements this week around Exadata, and it's the first time in a while at OpenWorld that Exadata has not had big announcements. But there are plenty of other big announcements sort of surrounding it. So we expect to see big data appliances front-ending Exadata. We expect to see the Exalytics Business Intelligence Appliance, which was announced yesterday, front-ending Exadata. We certainly have seen that all of the Exalogic middle-tier platforms are connected to a back-end Exadata database machine. And so really Exadata has cemented its position as sort of the foundation for the engineered systems at Oracle, and now everybody's surrounding it with other engineered systems.
Well, this was a delightful talk, Tim. If folks online want to continue the conversation with you and Oracle, where can they get more information?
There's a lot of information on our website, of course, as always. And if anybody wants to email me, feel free to do so. It's tim.shetler@oracle.com.
Well, thank you so much. Hope to have you on the program again.
Thank you, Allison.